Good morning. All right. Thank you so much for being here today. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here. And we're just excited that you'd come and hang out with us today. And I think that there is something great for all of us in the message today, not because I'm bringing it, but because of who gave it to me. So I'm excited about it and just want you to be encouraged today. We're in a series called Blessed. And we are so blessed. We are blessed with a band and members of it that just, man, just what a great, sweet spirit that they have set here for us today. I mean, you know, Austin's half sick, and so, man, I'm just ready for him to be all well because he's going to blow this place up. So, but, you know, just I'm so thankful that he would, you know, do that. And so we're just blessed with them, and I hope you'll grab the band, and don't forget the media and audio video team back there, and let them know how much you just appreciate what they do, and they make so many of these things happen for us, and so we're blessed. And what happens is we often look at things and we say we're blessed by a lot of stuff, and it usually is by the good stuff. We're blessed because we have all the things that we have, and most of those are very visible to us. We would all probably agree on many of those things that, wow, that's a blessing. But what we're looking at in this series are some things that we probably overlook as blessings. And week one, we talked about the blessing of a need for each other. That there is a true need that you and I have been blessed with, that we need this. We need people around us. We need people in our lives that help encourage us and allow us to be better believers and followers of Jesus. And so that's why we do so much of what we do, is to bring us together to make us a tighter-knit family, not so that we become very exclusive, that we don't allow other people in, but that we actually become more inclusive because of the family ties that we have, that more people want to be part of it, and we allow them to be part of it because they have the same need that we have. And then last week, we talked about the blessing of a burden. How many of us have burdens for so many things, and things that make us mad, things that make us want to do something about something, things that get our blood boiling and get our feet moving and our hands moving, and we put action to whatever that is. We've been blessed with burdens, things that break our heart. The things that break God's heart are what should break our heart. And when we become burdened with them, then we can do something about them. And so we are blessed with burdens. And today I want us to talk about a blessing that many of us probably see, but we just don't do much with. And hopefully today we're gonna change some and shift some paradigms as we think about this blessing that that we have. Here's the thing: when people who made $20,000 a year were asked, what would it take for you to feel blessed and to be happy? How much would that take for you to feel blessed and happy? They said $35,000 a year. And most of us, we could see that. So then they asked people who made $35,000 a year, how much would it take for you to feel happy and blessed? And they said $50,000 a year. So then they asked the people who made $50,000 a year, what would it take for you to feel happy and blessed? And they said $75,000 a year. Then they asked the people that made $75,000 a year, what would it take to make you happy, to feel happy and blessed? And they said $120,000 a year. The reality is that none of us think we have enough, that we think it would just take a little bit more to make us happy or feel blessed, that there's always more that we're seeking after if we want to feel blessed and happy. But here's the reality of that we have all been blessed, and we all have much more than we really truly need, right? I mean, we have a lot of stuff, and we have a lot of things, and we look at it this oftentimes in some really crazy ways, and we're going to talk about it today. Here's the reality. How many of you had a choice for breakfast this morning? I mean, y'all, if you drove here, you had a you had multiple choices, right? You know? So how many of you had multiple blankets available to you last night to be kept warm with? Yeah. How many of you, thank God, had multiple toilets to use today? right? I mean, we got like three in the women's and two in the men's out here, and then we got the ones on the wall, guys, if you just want to stand. But anyway, so we got choices, right? And we've been blessed with so much stuff. We have been given a lot too. So here's the thing. God is our provider. He is our provider, and we have too much, right? I want you, can you say that with me? Say, God is my provider, and I have too much. God is our provider, and we have too much. Yeah, see, I just recorded that, and you're all on tape saying it. So the reality is that we know that. And so we have been given and given and given to. And many times we look at that and we don't even get it that we've been blessed. Here's the truth today, that you are blessed, and here's why: to be a blessing. Here's why we have all that we have. We don't have all that we have for us. We have all that we have to be able to bless others with it. And so today I want us to dig down into this, that you are blessed to be a blessing. Jesus said this in Acts 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I know if you've grown up in church, you wanted, and I almost did it, to say blessed. So if that makes you happy, we can say it is more blessed to give than to receive. But the truth is that no matter how you say it or how you look at it, it really is better to give than to receive, right? If you believe that, raise your hand. All right, so here's the thing. Here's why I don't think you really believe it. So I know what you're saying, but Ron, wait a minute. I just raised my hand and I said, I believe it. And you said, I don't. So you're calling me a liar. Well, maybe I'm just saying not telling the truth, okay? So here's why. Because here's why I don't know that I believe it sometimes. Because somebody, and more than one person, has realized already that today's message is going to be about giving. And that has made you uncomfortable. It's made you begin to squirm in your chair a little bit. See, now everybody's going to be like really still. You're not even going to scratch your nose now. No, that's okay. You can scratch it. It's all right. We know. Because when we realize in the church oftentimes that we're going to have to hear about giving, it makes us really uncomfortable. Because our wallet is the last part of us to ever get saved. Our stuff is the last part that ever really becomes a believer in Jesus like us. It's the stuff that we hang on to, all of us. We get nervous when we begin to talk about giving because we realize it's going to probably cost us something. That we're probably going to have to release something because we realize we're holding on to it too tight. And listen, we've been blessed to be able to be a blessing. I'm telling you, here's why I know so much about the squirm in the chair. Here's why I know so much about the uneasy feeling, because I am the most selfish person that you have ever met in your life. I mean, I struggle with me, because I like me, and I like stuff, and I like to get stuff for me. I just do. You know, I like gadgets. I like little things. I like me. You know, I feed me well. I try to clothe myself pretty decent, but I just like me. And most of the time, if I'm just left to my own, I think about me. What is it for me? Now, I know I'm not alone in the room, because you're thinking, you know, you're probably struggle with it too, and you're probably relieved that I would say I'm the most selfish. That takes the pressure off of you. But we probably would be a close race. But here's why that's all changed in the last few years, is because I realized it first, and then I began to pray about it and just ask God, listen, God, I know that I struggle with this. I know that I'm not generous. I know that that's not something that just comes natural to me. And so, God, I need your help to be able to be generous. I need your help to be able to think of others more than myself. I need that, because that's just my human nature, and that's the way I am, and that's the way I'm wired. And, God, you know that. And you know that truly my heart is not that. It's not that I want to be that. But I want to be what you want me to be. I want to follow the example that you've set for me. And so over the years, God has begun to help me with that. And so today, my prayer is that he'll help all of us even more with it. That we, even if we are very generous people, and some of you are some of the most generous people I've ever been around, but even today, that we would all come to a place that allows us in this time of year where we're to be grateful for the things that we have and all of that, that we'll be even more thankful and that we'll be even more generous with those things. I heard the story of a pastor who was kind of at the same place, and he began to pray about what God would have him do. And there was two words that kept coming to him, and it was the words, Roundup. Now, some of you are thinking about, what does this got to do with killing weeds? No, not Roundup, not that. But taking what you get and rounding up to be more of a blessing to whoever you can be a blessing to. To not just stop here, because here's what happens. Some of us, whenever we write our checks and we're like, man, I made $635 this week, so I'm going to give $63.50, right? So we like to give our giving down to the pennies and the dimes and all of that. But what he was talking about was that God was encouraging him to go up, not just in his giving to his church, but to anybody he had an opportunity to give to. So he tells a story of going to a restaurant, and he went to buy drinks for the staff of the church, and not those kind of drinks. Don't get all excited about it. It wasn't a Baptist church, and they weren't drinking drinks that shouldn't be drinking or whatever. So don't get all worked up about the pastor's story. But he was buying it, and so he gets there. He goes to pay for it, and it ends up being however much with some odd cent. And so he gives the girl the whole amount above it, and says, hey, just keep the change. And it ended up being a very generous tip on top of what it was and all of those things. And so it really wasn't a significant amount. And most of us would look at it and say, man, that was kind of cheap. But it really was generous when we do our whole 20% tip thing and all of that stuff. And so he gives it to her, and her face lights up. And he didn't think he had done that much, but for some reason it just clicked with her. Because, see, she had been praying about her relationship with God, knowing that she was far from him and was struggling. She knew that this was a pastor, and for some reason, because he was willing to round up, it got her attention. She comes to church the next week. She hears about Jesus and accepts him there. Now, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes when we hear that word round up and those words and we think about how that could impact somebody, I can't think of a greater impact it could have than to help somebody be able to meet Jesus. And for this girl, this small round up of tip to go up and just be willing to be generous allowed her to just be released to come and hear the gospel and accept it. I think for many of us, we think about, hey, I'll just give I'll give the used set of whatever I have, when the truth is we could round up and give the new set of what we have, be okay with the old set, and bless somebody with the new set. See, I think rounding up is not just in a monetary amount, but it's rounding up to be able to go just above where we would go to touch somebody and to help them be able to be ministered to. See, I think that goes when we treat how we treat people. Sometimes we can just go by, and it's really nice to just acknowledge somebody and say, hey, how you doing? But it's another thing to actually stop, shake their hand, make eye contact with them, and then engage them in a conversation so that you can build a relationship with them. See, to me, that's rounding up. And I think that's the generosity and that's the giving of us that is just as important as giving our money. Sometimes in the church, we don't want to hear the pastor talk about money, but you know what? We don't even hear him talk about giving of ourselves and our time. So today, I want to make sure that if you're squirming in your chair because we're going to talk about giving, then listen, we're going to talk about giving a lot more than just your money. We're going to talk about giving you. And so that's the shift that I think we have to make in the church, is it's just not about a dollar amount. It's about so much more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul was talking to a group of people that were rather poor. And they gave big, and he's talking to this other group. He says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise you for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Listen, we should never give to get to be lifted up, to be honored for ourselves, but we should always give and share so that God is lifted up and that He is glorified. But the truth is that when we do give, and when people know us by our giving, it buys us opportunities, if I can use that phrase, to be able to share Jesus with them. Sometimes you have to give to be able to get that opportunity. Whether it's financially, whether it's personally, whether it's whatever you have, just letting people borrow stuff. Whatever God tells you to do. But I think when we're generous with what we have, God does amazing things. And people begin to see us not lift us up, but that it begins to lift Him up. And we can tell them so much more about Him when we have those opportunities. When we see need, listen, we need to be able to give so that people recognize it. We've been blessed to be a blessing. We've been blessed so that we can help people and that we can share what we have. Sometimes we make mistakes, though, with our blessings. So I want to give us a couple quick little things to help us understand that. There are some big blessing mistakes that we can make. The first one is this, that some ignore God's blessings. Some people ignore it. You know, you ever heard somebody complain because the air conditioner guy can't get there till the next day? Anybody like 40 or above, do you remember not having air conditioning? Yeah, I remember it too. When the summer night breeze would blow, you know, and really all it did was just move the humidity around. But it felt better, you know. You open up the window and just let it blow, and you know, or when you're driving down the road, you know, you got four-door air conditioning. When you roll all the windows down in the car, you know, that's, some of us remember those days. But now you let that air conditioning go out, and people on Facebook like, I can't believe they hadn't shown up, and you know, complaining about the air conditioning company. And I'm like, you're blessed, you know. You still probably can go buy a fan or whatever. We're blessed, and we get so bent out of shape. We get upset because our BMW is in the shop. I just love to have a BMW. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty cool. We get upset about the craziest stuff. You know, our fifth bedroom is such a clutter. Get it? Fifth bedroom. You know, I went to a house in Kenya. No joke. I get to preach in a bigger place than they had for a bedroom. Can you imagine? We're blessed, but we ignore it oftentimes. Number two, some apologize for God's blessings. We apologize that God's blessed us, and I fall into this one probably more than anything, because there's this pressure on me that the pastor, you know, can't have anything sometimes, that if he has something, man, we must be paying him too much. You know, I live in a really big house on 9th Street. And I don't say that bragging. I say that because God worked out an amazing deal that I pay for that house probably less than you pay for your house. I mean, it's just God worked something out and it happened, and you know, it just is. And I don't mean that boastfully, it is. But you know what we do with our house? It's always open. It's open every Friday night to all of you to come. It's open on Monday night so women can come and study the Bible. It's open last night so somebody's girls could come and stay because their parents were working and whatever, couldn't be here, so that they could get to church. But every time somebody says, oh, you live on 9th Street? And I automatically say, yeah, and I begin to tell the story. And you know, because I'm apologizing for it. But you know what? If somebody says, man, Ron, you got beautiful girls, I never go, no, I don't. They're not really beautiful. No, I've been blessed with beautiful girls, and I never deny that. So why do I apologize for the other things that God has done in my life? Why do we apologize that God's blessed us? Man, if you got something cool and you're still generous and you still, I say, you know, if you drive something really shiny and you do all the other things, drive something shiny. God's not about, God never says we shouldn't have stuff. But He is about how we should do with what we have and that we should use those things because we've been blessed to be a blessing. But we apologize God made a mistake or something. But you need to just understand that he blesses us like that. And then number three, some do this. They hoard God's blessings. Some hoard God's blessings. That's probably the most tragic of the bunch. Studies have shown over and over and over again that the more you make, the less you will give. Over and over and over again. Now, some of you are generous and you're like, I don't understand that, but it's true. Percentages of people who have less, they always give more. It's just across the board. Why is that? I think it's because we begin to hold on to things. The more we have, the more we're afraid that we'll lose it. The more that we don't own it, it begins to own us. I think there's a lot of reasons, but we look at it and so we need to be able to see it for what it is. I mean, it's okay to have stuff. It's okay to enjoy stuff. It's okay to go out and spend some money. Don't hear me say that's not. But you just need to understand that first and foremost that you've been blessed so that you can be a blessing. If you got something really nice that you drive, I think you should bless me and let me drive it some. That's where I'm at. You know, don't hold on to it. You know, we just do something with what you have. Don't just let it have you. Here's a fact that a lot of us struggle with, that tithing, you know that word, that dirty word in church, tithing is not giving. If you're tithing, you need to understand that you're at the minimum standard. That's what's been asked of us. That's what we've been given as the standard to meet. If we want to be generous, if we want to be able to be that blessing to others, then we got to understand that the standard is just the standard. That we're to go above and beyond that. Listen, I have a friend who two or three times at least a day posts articles that he's written about the fact that the New Testament church, that us, the New Covenant church, that we're not held under the tithe. That because of the way the language was written and who it was written to and all of those things, that we're not supposed to tithe, that is not for us. And he makes a very compelling argument with it. And when you read and you understand some of the words that were used and all that, I can't argue with him. And so, here's your pastor saying, I don't know that you have to tithe. And really, to be honest, here's what I believe when I study the scriptures, that you shouldn't tithe. Because the standard really isn't the tithe. The standard is in Acts, where it says that whenever somebody had a need, that the people sold what they had and they met the need. The reality is that it all belongs to Him. The standard is just what we give back so that the work can continue and the ministry can continue and those sorts of things. Here's what the scripture said in Leviticus: a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. It's already His. The tithe already belongs to Him. It's the standard. It's the minimum that's set. That's what we should give back. But then it goes on in the scriptures and it teaches us that over and over and over again that we're just to let go because it all belongs to Him. That there's a bigger shift that needs to take place in our thinking that takes us from just thinking, oh, I just got to give this amount, to be able to say, you know what, I'll give whatever amount. God may ask you to give a tithe. And that's okay. He may not ask you to give a tithe. Don't just say He didn't when you don't know for sure, though. But I think we got to be able to give whatever He says to give. So what are we going to do if we're the tithe only? Then that means that we give to the church, we give our tenth to the church, then what are we going to do for Homes of Hope and for the Great Day Giveaway? Because isn't that more than, or are you going to add it all up and say, oh, I'm going to give a tenth worth of all this stuff? That's not what he asked for. It goes beyond that. Many times we find ourselves stuck with, like in Malachi 3:8, says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we're not riding around in stolen cars. We need to be careful that we're not riding around on the lake in stolen boats. We need to be careful that we're not wearing stolen clothes. We need to be careful that we're not living in a stolen house. And what I mean is that we're overspending on all of these things when we're not even doing anything to be a blessing to others the way that the Scripture teaches us. We have to be very careful of that. And so this isn't to make you feel bad. This isn't to make you go sell your car or your house or whatever. It's just for you to begin to let God begin to move in you and tell you what you need to do. Listen, I have to process myself through this all the time. And man, it made me begin to think, do I really need that Cablevision package? You have to finance your Cablevision now. Did you know that? Because it's like a house payment. I mean, if you're going to watch, anything that you like on TV, you just about got to do it. Go Roku. I'm getting ready to go all Roku. It's just so much easier. But the reality is that we spend so much on stuff that really has no significance. We get beyond ourselves, and we forget that we've been blessed to not be blessed. We've been blessed to be a blessing. So I want to help us to understand that today. What does it look like to be blessed, to be a blessing? Number one, we're blessed to give joyfully. Joyfully. I love this. We talk about this all the time. It's a scripture that we hold tight to every time. We don't take up offerings here on Sunday morning because we just want you to be able to give joyfully and cheerfully. We don't want you to feel like, gosh, if that plate comes, I know I got to put something in it. I was at a meeting the other day. No joke, I had a $20 bill in my pocket, the only cash I had, and they were taking up an offering for something. And I'm like, where I normally would have given online or something else, I had that one $20 in my pocket. And you know what I did? I put the $20 in the bucket because I felt the pressure of having to put something in there. Where I normally would have given 50 online, I gave 20 in the bucket. So that's why we do. Some people are like, why do you do online giving? Because you can give whatever you want, whenever you want, and nobody is watching and nobody cares, and you don't have to care about it. To make it easy for you and to make it joyful for you, that the 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Pretty simple. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. We don't want to give. We don't want to make you have to give. For God loves a cheerful giver. Say that with me. For God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know the word cheerful means? How it translates out? This is how it translates out. You come in, and if you are going to give cheerfully, you take out an envelope, and you put your mini bills in it. Yeah, not the ones, but the mini or your big checks. You put it in there and you fill it out. And if you give cheerfully, the word for that is hilariously. Hilariously. That means you get crazy. And I'm like, man, I get to give today. I get to give. Woo! Woo! Yes, I get to give. Yes, good stuff. Yeah, woo! So, y'all have never seen me act like that before, have you? I did last Sunday night in here when I was watching the Dallas game at the end. But anyway, so here's the thing. That's the way we're to be about our giving, is excited about it. Not to feel bad about it. This message is not to make you feel bad about whether you give or not. It is absolutely to help you and help me be able to look at what God says about being blessed to be a blessing. He says we're to do it joyfully, and hopefully I'll do it with breath in a minute. Anyway, I got to get back working out. It's killing me. All right, so here's the thing. Are you happy to give, or is it a chore? God wants it to be joyful. He wants you to be excited. Somebody that I love, my wife, is one of the most joyful giving people that I know. And I know I can brag on her because I hang out with her all the time, but I know what she does to give. And she is like that. That's where she's in her sweet spot. When she's giving of herself and giving to people and doing stuff for people and trying to help people, you know, just have a smile, just trying to give them something that makes them better. And she gets so joyful about it. And I'm thinking, man, I get challenged by it all the time because I'm not like that. And she challenges me. And so why can't we all just be cheerful about it like that? It's what we're to be. Number two, to be blessed, to be a blessing, we are blessed to give extravagantly. To give extravagantly. Every now and then, you just got to get crazy. Just get crazy and just give. Don't think about it. Don't try to put it in perspectives. Just when God says give, just give. Don't try to analyze it to death. If you know He's telling you to do it, just do it. Because I know if I don't do it, I'm gonna start rounding down. And that's what happens so much. We need to be able to round up. And we need to be able to give extravagantly. I think about the story in Mark chapter 14. Jesus is at the home of a leper. He's laying there reclining at the table. And this is what happens. A woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Well, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." Haven't you ever looked at stuff and said, man, why didn't they spend that money on feeding people? Why didn't they spend that money on giving people homes? Or I know I have. We've looked at things that the churches have done. I've looked at things that people have done. I'm thinking, why didn't they just do something good with that? And here's this lady, though. She's just not just wasting stuff. This was her gift to Jesus. This was her extravagant gift of just acknowledging to Him who He is in her life. To acknowledge the change that's happened. See, some of our giving needs to come out of what God's done for us. And I often wonder, me and everybody else, if the reason we don't give extravagantly is because we've really not let God do anything in our lives. Does it really reflect what's going on with us? This lady came to a place that she realized what she had. She knew what it was. She knew how extravagant this was for her, but she didn't care because she knew how much Jesus meant to her. And so for you and I, when we give, do we look at how much Jesus means to us when we do it? I believe if we would begin to do that, we would see our giving in a whole different perspective. Sometimes you just got to let it go. You just got to give it because it's what needs to happen. You got to be irrational. You can't go to your financial advisor and say, hey, you know, does this make sense? Because he's going to say no. And you just got to do it. Just let it happen because we're blessed to give extravagantly. Number three, we're blessed to give sacrificially. We're blessed to give sacrificially in such a way that that when we look at what we have left over from our giving, you know, that we realize that probably what we got left ain't gonna make it. You know, some of you I know are single moms and dads, and you've done amazing jobs to take care of your kids, and you're like, if I gave this, I know that my kids aren't gonna eat. Listen, don't ever take food out of your kid's mouth. But don't ever quit trusting God to do what only God can do in your life either. Don't ever not trust Him enough that you hold on to it so tightly that He can't do what He wants. Don't do what the preacher says. Don't do what the TV evangelist says. Don't do what anybody else says. Do what God tells you to do with it. And sometimes you're just going to have to trust Him. Sometimes you're just going to have to do it, whether you've got a bunch or you got a little. We have to trust, and that's where faith comes in. Do what He tells you to do. In Mark chapter 12, there's a beautiful story of a little lady who came. And we probably all heard the story of the widow and the mite, and she comes. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 43 and 44, it says, "This poor widow has put more into the treasury." This is Jesus talking because of her gift. "That this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They have all given out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." We're never going to ask you to do anything like that. I think it would be terrible of a church to ever ask you and make you feel guilty for doing anything like that. I don't think that's our place. God does what He wants to do, and it's His place to ask you to give whatever. But it is my responsibility as your pastor to teach you what the examples are that have been set. And so sometimes we just got to give, not out of what we have, but out of what we don't have. Sometimes we have to give ourselves, we have to give our time out of the time that we don't have. Sometimes we got to slow down enough to spend time with somebody that needs time than to just keep running full steam ahead. We have to be willing to give whatever we can as God leads us to give. That we follow Him and we trust Him where it is. This lady, man, she pulled out everything. She gave tomorrow's breakfast. She went and cleaned out the 401k. She went and she did everything in giving that day. I don't know that any of us have ever come to a place that we've given like the widow did. Here's the reality. God's not asking us to give necessarily that way. He is asking us to be willing to give that way, to trust Him enough with everything that we have, that if that's what it took, that He would allow us, that we would be willing to do it. It's the view of what you have that's at issue, not how much you give. It's not about giving all. It's not about putting it all in the plate, y'all. It's not about giving it all to the church. It's not about giving it to a giveaway. It's not about doing that. It's never about giving it all there. It's just being willing to do it, to just realize that stuff at the end of the day is not who's Lord, to realize that God is in charge and that He's the one who's blessed you with it so that you can be a blessing. We have to come to a place where we realize that generosity is one of the pieces that if we're going to have the mind of Christ, if we're going to be a Christ follower and we're going to do things the way that He does it and the way that He did it, then we're going to have to be willing to let go of it all. See, God loved us enough that He gave all. He sent His Son Jesus to earth to live a sinless, perfect life, to give us an example to live by, but most importantly, He sent Him as a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin, that He came, that He would be beaten beyond recognition, He would be nailed to a cross, that He would die on that cross, taken off, put into a borrowed tomb, and then God, in all of His love and mercy, would reach down on that third day and would raise Him up out of that grave. You see, that's sacrificial. That's extravagant. And as painful as it was joyful because He knew the reality of what it was going to allow you and I to have an opportunity to do. And that's to accept it, be forgiven of our sins, and be restored to the relationship with Him that He's always wanted us to have with Him. You see, that's why giving is so important. It's following and doing what God did for us. It's following the example. And so today, Do you give joyfully? Man, I'll give twice as much if somebody will go put their money in there that way. You know, somebody runs and hoops and hollers and does all that. I give more. I'm serious. Do you give joyfully? Do you give extravagantly? Do you give sacrificially? Let's pray together because we've been blessed to be a blessing. God, this morning we pray that you would just speak to our hearts. And God, as we watch the video in just a second about how we give and what giving does, God, may you speak to us. May you open our hearts. God, no, it's not about just giving to the church. It's about being willing to just let go. God, to know that there are kids that need to have boxes delivered to them, not because they need stuff, God, but because they need to hear the gospel. And those Operation Christmas Child boxes out in the lobby represent the gospel being delivered and spoken clearly to a child somewhere around this globe. God, that there are people in our community that are going to come on December 10th and they're going to be able to receive stuff that we bring and donate to the Great Day Giveaway. They need clothes. They need shoes on their feet. They need coats. They need food. God, they need those things, but they need you too. And they're going to hear about you that day. God, that is given to the church, God, goes so that we continue to tell people about you in so many different ways. That God, it's not about just giving. It's about understanding the blessings that we have and being able to be the blessing that you want us to be. So God, today I pray that you would help us to understand that it's not about an amount. It's not about, you know, a show. It's not about any of that stuff, God. It's just about being who you want us to be. God, today help us. God, if our attitude about giving is not good, then God, help us today. May we confess that to you. And may you show us what it is that you want for us. God, if we've been generous to this point, then God, maybe it's that we need to be a little more generous. God, whatever it is that you want to do in our lives, I pray that you'll do it in these next few moments. God, maybe it's that we need to come to a knowledge of you that allows us to accept your son Jesus and the sacrifice he made and be changed forever by accepting his forgiveness and being saved. God, speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.